Okay, it's hard to believe that we're going to say we're learning the last sugya of Masechet Shabbos. I don't think anyone can ever make such a statement in life, that's the last sugya. But at least for our limud, which is almost a three year limud already, we're up to the last of the sugyas, at least for our purposes. So we're still focusing on the Malacha D'Oraisa of Machmav Hatish, but we've already entered into the realm of the Rabbanans, and really, in a certain sense, a continuation of the last sugya. There were certainly Surim Durabana that were instituted because they could potentially lead to fixing of Kalim, which would, of course, be a Torah prohibition of Machmav Patish. Thus, we enter into the Sugya called Shem Yisach and Kleshir, different things that Chazal prohibited, which could potentially lead one to fix actually a musical instrument, which, of course, would potentially be a Machmav Patish. So the Sugya begins at the very end of Masechet Erevin, the first of the Ramakamos. An Erevin, Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph, Ula Ikul Lebeir of Menashe. Ula arrived in the house of Rav Menashe. Also, a gavra tarf above them. They were sitting, talking and learning, having a kiddush together, whatever they were doing, and somebody knocked on the door. So Ula said, Man hai? He said, who is such a person who would dare knock on the door on Shabbos? Lizchel gufe de kamachal el Shabbata. He says, let their body be mechulo. I'm not sure what that means exactly. It wasn't a very nice compliment because they're being mechal Shabbos. So basically, Ula started to scream, Zachilo Shabbos. Lizchel Shabbos. Someone's knocking on the door. So what was the Chol Shabbos? Apparently Ula was of the opinion that any causing of any noise to be made on Shabbos, I'm not talking about your kids screaming, but any causing of noise, banging, knocking, etc., is a problem of Chol Shabbos. So Amalei Rabba said to him, no. Lo Osra L'Kol Shel Shir, he said, it's true that you're not allowed to make certain kinds of noises on Shabbos on Yom Tov, but that's only when it's done in a musical way. So if you start banging away, beating to the beat of something, that's a problem. That's like almost like playing an instrument. A guy's just banging to get into the house, so that's not considered to be a problem at all. So we have a machlokes now between Ula and Rabba. Everybody seems to agree there's some kind of a prohibition over here, there's some kind of an isser of making noise, at least to some degree, on Shabbos and Yom Tov. The question is, what are the parameters of this isser? So Ula thought it was all-encompassing. Any kind of making of any noise, any banging, any clapping, any knocking is automatically isser. And Rabba said, no, the isser only applies to Kol Shel Shir. So the question is, what exactly is this machlokes? We're not even sure what the name of the isser is. I mean, we think we know because it's on the Marmor Crumbs of Shem Yisat and Kol Shir, so we think it has something to do with that. But we're not quite sure what the nature of this machlokes is all about. This is really the pivotal part of the sugya. So the Arsameach has an interesting insight. The Arsameach suggests that maybe the machlokes in Ula and Rabba is really very, very fundamental. Namely, are we learning the right sugya now? Does this have anything at all to do with Shem Yisach and Kol Shir? For that matter, who told us such a gezeirah? Because I wrote at the top of the Marmor Kamos, and if they wouldn't have been printed, we wouldn't have even known the name of the sugya. So how do you know there's an issa called Shem Yisach and Kol Shir? So comes Yosemech and says, well, let's take a look at the second of the Marmor Kamos. It's a Gemara in Beitza, Daf Lamed Vav and Beitza, based on a Mishnah in Beitza. The Gemara is quoting the lines of the Mishnah. V'lo metavchin, v'lo mesafkin, v'lo merakdin. The person is not allowed to do on the Mishnah happens to be talking about on Yom Tov, and then at the end of the Mishnah says, and by the way, whatever we just said is Yom Tov, kav v'chayv l'Shabbos. So the halachas are the same. One cannot do metavchin, mesafkin, merakdin. What in the world are these actions? So these are all kind of do with making different kinds of related to music. So metavchin, some kind of a banging, like smacking away on your leg, maybe, or misafkin, maybe is a yisur, is cup of clapping, merakdin is pashtas dancing, kates merakdin from akala. These are all things that are usually associated with music. So the Mishnah says across the board, you can't do any of these on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Now, hold off for a minute when you start to think about all the Shabbatons that you've been at and all the singing and dancing and all the things and clapping you've been doing. We're going to get to that hopefully as the sugya develops. But at least the Mishnah says explicitly all these things are asur. And although the Mishnah doesn't record the reason, the Gemara says explicitly, Gezeirah Shem Yisach and Kol Shir. So those five words tell it all, that the reason why these things are asur is we're afraid you may come to fix a musical instrument. If you start to dance and clap, next thing you know, you'll pull out a guitar, you pull out a drum, you pull out a start playing. Someone will go run and play the piano. And what will be so terrible about that? So objectively nothing, until you realize that the guitar is off key a little bit, until you realize that the drums have to be tightened, until you realize that the piano is not working so well. So you're going to start to fix it. Like, well, you have a clef that's broken, an instrument that's broken. It's an issur of Machmav Patish. So this issur of Shem Yisach and Kol Shir definitely exists. It's definitely on the books. It's a Mishnah in Maseches Beitza. And the question is that really what's the engine behind this sugya about knocking on the door? So comes Yosemech and says, according to Rabbah, it makes a lot of sense. Because what did Rabbah say? Rabbah said that you're allowed to knock on the door to get in. What you're not allowed to do is, you're not allowed to knock to the beat, knock like a drum. So that makes a lot of sense. Because according to Rabbah, the whole issur of knocking on the door was really just a subcategory of this Mishnah in Beitza about Matavchen, Merachkin, Mesavchen, etc. It's all part of that same story. Don't dance, because you may fix an instrument. Don't clap, you may fix an instrument. Don't knock on a beat to the door, you may come to start an orchestra going, you may fix an instrument. So according to Rabbah, it's all part of the same picture, and therefore it makes sense that the issur should only be derech le'shir. If it's not derech kol shel shir, then the whole thing should be mutter. But the question pushes back, says the Yosef, what did Ula think? Ula thought there's some kind of independent issur of doing, what does that have to do with Shem Yisak Lashir? Who in the right mind is going to go knock on the door and then start playing the piano? What's the connection between the two? So there must be something else going on in Ula's mind. Ula must think that the Sugya in Erevin and the Sugya in Beitza are not the same Sugya. According to Ula, we talk about the wrong Marmakamis. According to Ula, this has nothing to do with Shem Yisak Lashir. There's something very, very different out there. What is it? You have to start to scratch heads and think. Well, if it's not Shem Yisak Lashir, so which malacha could it possibly be related to? So you go through the list and you realize that it has nothing to do with Bishul, with Zareya, what? Which malacha? So says Yosef Mech, it has nothing to do with any of the malachas. It's an Issur Derabbanan. Issur Derabbanan based on what? It's part of another package of Issur Derabbanan called Molid. Molid. We learned about Molid. Molid means that you're not allowed to, let's say you have ice on Shabbos, you want to start crushing the ice to make water. So many of the Rishonim say that's an Issur Derabbanan of Molid, because you're bringing something new into existence. I mean, we know chemically it's not exactly new. It's H2O is H2O, but afal b'chein, ice and water look to us as being different. So that's considered to be bringing something new into the world. What's the malacha of molid? Rashi says, absolutely none. Rashi says, it looks like malacha. It's daimel malacha, because it's like borei davachadosh. The Rebbe Shalom created the world, yesh me'ayin, literally borei davachadosh. Today we have conservation of matter and energy, if I'm not mistaken, from my chemistry days. So everything exists. No one's borei davachadosh b'zman hazeh. But lefira osainayim, it's borei davachadosh. It used to be a piece of ice, and now I have myself a cup of water. That's a borei davachadosh. So Rashi says, that smacks of malacha. That looks a little bit like they're too close to the Rebbe Shalom, too close for the tamei separatius. So therefore, that would be, that's antithetical to Shabbos. Even though it's not a particular malach, it's not that if you crush ice, you're going to write. It's not like zeri shem yichtov. It's not like if you crush ice, shem yichat v'gecholim, you may come to stir the coals on your stove. It's not a zeri derabbanan like that. But it's domel malach. It looks a little bit like malacha, and therefore it's prohibited. So we've learned about molid. We've seen molid by eish. On Shabbos, it's not relevant. On Shabbos, obviously, you can't light a fire with deraisa. But on Yom Tov, even when you're permitted to light a fire in a Torah for cooking, lighting, for candles, whatever it is, but you're not allowed to strike a match. The Mishnah says in Beitza, you're not allowed to rub two sticks together, two stones together, because that's a molid of a chadash going to the most of the Rishonim. So here also, I'm bringing something new into existence. It's not a malacha, because the malacha of Avar is mutar on Yom Tov, but it's Pasha says it's an Issur Derabbanan. The Gemara we've spoken about also, the Gemara says you're not allowed to take perfume and put it on clothing on Shabbos. You're allowed to put it on your skin on Shabbos. You're not allowed to put it on your clothing because you're molid reich. You're bringing something new into the world. It used to be the garment didn't smell well. Now it has a nice geshmaka smell to it. That's like a molid of a chodesh as well. If you remember, when we spoke about electricity a few weeks ago, we mentioned there was some poskim who wanted to ask all of electricity because of chashash of molid. So molid has made its appearance in Shas in many, many cases. So the Yosemeh claims that's what Ula thought her also. It's a molid coal. You bring it about a sound that didn't exist. It was quiet in the house. Now someone's banging on the door. That's a molid of a chodesh. If that's the case, that's also because of molid of a chodesh, that it doesn't make a difference whether it's shir or not, so it's going to be us across the board. So again, this is just a mech suggestion that the machlokes Ula and Rabbah is not just a technical machlokes as to is it only us in music, not music, etc. It's fundamental machlokes. What is the issue in the first place? According to... Strange thing, according to Ula. I didn't say we passed Ula. But again, this is the Arsameh's beer. So conventional wisdom was that Ula and Rabbah are both working within the guidelines of Shem Yisak Klishir, and they're just arguing about the details. And according to the Arsameh, everything changes. The sugya radically changes. That the sugya, according to Ula, has nothing to do with Shem Yisak Klishir. How do we pass in the halacha in this shayla? Should we follow Ula? Should we follow Rabbah? So if we take a look at the third of the Ramakamos, So the riff, a very, very famous riff from Masechet Erevin. We've quoted this riff many, many times over the years in different contexts, but this is the original context where the riff actually was. So the riff in Erevin and Daf Lamed Hamud Beis, V'chazinam l'miktas Ravusa, I have seen some of my rebbeim, says the riff, Desvir Luka Ula, that they followed Ula. So, you know, you must have getting quiet on Shabbos, and you can't knock on the door. Because there are some of the Rishon, some of the Gaonim really preceded the riff, the rebbeim with the riff, who were of the opinion that you have to follow Ula. Why should I follow Ula? In Agamara, you can't tell. In Agamara, if anything, Rabba seems to get the upper hand. Ula made a statement, and he criticized the person knocking on the door, and Rabba said, no, what are you criticizing if it's not true, it's mutter. So from Agamara, it sounds like Rabba should be followed. So those Gaonim who disagreed, says the riff is Samche Agamara Demnei Ma'arava. They were relying on the opinion of the Bnei Ma'arav. Bnei Ma'arav is the Bnei Eretz Yisrael, i.e. the Talmud Rishalmi, because there's a Rishalmi in Maseches Beitza that talks about the sugya and seems to have the conclusion, L'chumra. What does it say in the Rishalmi? So the Gassidin also Maseches Yontif. The Rishalmi called Maseches Beitza Maseches Yontif, which really makes a lot more sense, because we since when do we name a Masechta after the first word? It's not like a Parshat Chumash. So if you think about it, every other Masechta expresses the theme of the Masechta. So for some strange reason, Beitza somehow became different. But the Rishon didn't call it Masechta Beitza. So the Gassidin Hassam, at least some of the Rishon didn't. The Gassidin Hassam, Masechta Yantif. I'm Rabbi Elazar. Kol Mashmiya Kol Asurin B'Shabbos. So Rabbi Elazar said, what kind of Mashmiya Kol is a problem? So it's interesting that it's not such a surprise that Rabbi Elazar was the one who said that, because Ula happened to have been a Talmud of Rabbi Elazar. Omer Ula Rabbi Elazar. So that's almost the same Beis Medrash speaking. So the Gemara tells a story. Rabbi Elah Atzar Besidra. Rabbi Elah once got stuck on, I guess, Friday night. He came home late, got stuck in the Beis Medrash for night Seder. Literally, but he was learning. He came home late. Solek Lebeis. He came home to his house. The Ashkechon, the Machich. He found that everybody was sleeping. So he hung out by the gate of the door. He went to sleep in the front lawn on the front porch, basically. So because the lomachesh b'shabata, because he refused to knock on the door. Raminanami Rabbi Yirmiya Shari Mekesh Altar b'shabata, and the Gemara in the Rishalmi says a similar story that Rabbi Yirmiya once permitted somebody to knock on the gate, to knock on the door on Shabbos. Amalei Abai, man shari loch. He said, who permitted that for you? Abai jumped up and said, who was matter that for you? So the Mahalach of the Rishalmi seems to be pointing in the direction of Chumrah, both from the story that Rabbi Yirmiya ended up sleeping in the front of the house the whole night rather than knocking on the door, and the fact that Abai criticized Rabbi Yirmiya who permitted the knocking on doors. So if anything, it sounds like in the Yerushalmi that the later Amoraim seem to be siding with the Machmirim. So comes the riff and says, how should we address this? So in the Bavli, yeah, it's not clear in the Bavli that we passkate against Ula, but it sounds that way from the Bavli, whereas in the Yerushalmi, if anything, sounds the other direction. So the riff says, V'anan lo sviru lanochi. So comes the riff and says, we don't follow that view. We don't think that view is correct, the view of my Rebbeim. The Kevin, the Sugyan, the Gemara, the Lon Lehetera. He says, since the sukya in the Bavli is going in the direction of Hefter, because the Rabbi gets the last word in. Lo ichbaslon. That's a strong notion. Lo ichbaslon b'may da'asir b'gmar d'b'nei ma'arava. He said, we don't care. So it doesn't interest us. We're not concerned with the fact that in the Rishalmi it asks it. Tel gmar d'ilon samchinan. He said, this is where the rift develops, the cloud. So again, we spoke about it many times, and there's machlek is the Bavli and the Rishalmi. We follow the Bavli. Why do we follow the Bavli? The Basrahu. The Bavli was written later. You know, it was written 200-300 years after the Rishalmi. Why is that important? The Inu have a biki b'gemar d'bnei ma'arav a tvei minon. He says the Amoraim in Bavel knew the opinions of the Rishalmi. They were well aware of what their I can't even say their colleagues, their 200-300 years earlier colleagues had stated in Eretz Yisrael. They knew exactly what they said. The ilav the kimlu the high meimer d'bnei ma'arav lav the samchu lo kasharu le'inu. If not for the fact that they knew that particular statement of the Rishab was not acceptable, was not the final halacha, then they wouldn't have disagreed with it. It means the Talmidei Chacham in Eretz Yisrael were older. They were 3-4 generations before Ravina and Rav Ashi. So when we're sitting around in Bavel and we're contemplating what the din is, should we follow Rabbah, should we follow Ula? If we really thought that the this had been paskin correctly 200 years earlier in the Talmud Yerushalmi, so we should have put that into the equation. And they just ignored it. They just, in the way Ravina Rav Asher was Masada, the Gemara Bavli, the Talmud Bavli, they quote Ula, they quote Rabba, they give Rabba the last word in. Ula doesn't have a chance to respond. They can debate, so have the last person who speaks, so he wins, he's in effect winning the day. So for the Pashas Asugya of the Bnei Bavel, is that we're paskinning Lekula and the Shaila. I, the Yerushalmi, is paskinning Lechumra, right? Well, we don't follow the Yerushalmi because Halakha Basaroi, because the last ones in get the final word. So this riff is important on two fronts. It's important in a limited sense of our sugya that the riff is paskinning Lekula against Ula. So if you continue to knock on your door, as long as you're not knocking Derech a song. But perhaps even more important than that is the Rif is telling us a very important klal of Pesach Halacha. So when you have Machlokes, the Bavli, and the Yerushalmi, you have to follow the Bavli because that's the corollary of the principle of Halacha Kibasra, that you follow the later opinions. Rabbi Chaim Wasserman has a comment that he thinks that it is correct. We know it's correct that we generally follow the Bavli over the Yerushalmi, but there may be another reason, says Rabbi Chanan, perhaps an even more encompassing reason than the reason that the Rif is giving. So Rabbi Chanan develops a Yisod as that we know that there's a certain koch and halacha of a beis din hagadol. If a beis din hagadol paskin something, and then a yochid tries to disagree, that's tantamount to become a gezach and mamri. You can't disagree with the psach of a beis din hagadol. And the chora, we don't have a beis din hagadol anymore. We haven't had a beis din hagadol in thousands of years. Not quite, says Rabbi Chanan. The Rambam describes that when you have a psach of all of Chachmei Yisrael, that takes on the status of a Beis HaGadol. So even if you don't literally have 71 Rabbanim and Dayanim sitting in the Beis HaMikdash, but if something has taken on the whole robe of Chachmei Yisrael, that becomes almost like the equivalent of a psach of a Beis HaGadol. So Rabbi Chanan suggests that when they were chosen the Talmud Bavli, you had that. Because you had the overall majority of Tamil Chum lived in Bavel at the time. So the Chasimus of Talmud Bavli was the Haskama of the Rav Chacham Yisrael. The Talmud Yerushalmi was not that. Historically, Yerushalmi was not that. When Yerushalmi was written, most of the Rav already lived in Bavel. So that was more of a psach of great people. They wrote the Talmud Yerushalmi, but it wasn't necessarily indicative of the Chacham of Rav Chacham Yisrael. So now, says Rabbi Chanan, when you have a machlokes between the Ba'avli and the Yerushalmi, what you really have is a machlokes between the Beis Din HaGadol, the voice of all of Klal Yisrael, against the voice of Yechidim. So the Yechidim are great, but you can't follow the Yechidim in a situation when you have a Rov Chachmei Yisrael against it. So whether you go to the Rif's Pshat, or go to Rabbi Chanan's Yedit Pshat, the bottom line is we're going to follow the Ba'avli. So getting back to our sugya, we seem to paskin that the reason for this is for Shem Yisat Klishya. So we are justified in calling the sugya what we are. Hopefully, Metz Hashem, next year will be on Thursday. So we'll try to go through some of the details when the sister replies, when the sister doesn't.
Which is interesting, because this isn't necessarily a machlokas the Bavli. Like,
the Bavli is also a machlokas. Right. But the tea of the Bavli, right. So we're supposed to have a, I don't know, turn off the thing.